Welcome to Illy's Coffee Talks, the podcast featuring creative entrepreneurs in the Basel area over the best cups of coffee in the best cafes. Good morning, good evening, Patrick, or Patrick. You are French, but you moved to Canada a while ago, and you are originally from France. You're doing so many things that I want to touch on this podcast. So what do you think about introducing yourself? And you can really share anything you'd like to share from all the countries you've visited and you lived in, all the different work you've been doing and the coaching. That's what interests me the most, but let's see what comes.
Hi, Ophelia. Well, thank you for having me today. I'm really happy to be able to talk about these various topics that we want to touch on. And today, it's the first podcast that we do together. So it's exciting.
It's super exciting. It's the morning for you and the evening for me.
That's right. So you asked me some specific questions about all the countries I visited. Well, we're going to have a podcast just about that then. We want to be able to touch about other things. Yes, originally from France and Switzerland, but more a world citizen than anything else. I feel more connected to the planet Earth as a whole rather than just one specific country. I lived in 8 different countries on 4 different continents in my life, and then I traveled through the world like probably 56 countries. So I have a little bit of an understanding of our planet, but still a lot to continue to discover. So I enjoy traveling, as you can imagine, and I enjoy to discover and understand, and I'm fascinating about both nature and mankind. I think human beings are just amazing, and they're all different. Even though society tried to put them in boxes, we're still very unique, and that's what I'm studying all the time, you know. My career started, my human interest career started as a career counselor in Switzerland in the 80s. And I was trying to understand human psychology and try to match with organization that was looking for the right individual for the role they wanted to give them. And so that was always interesting for me to try to understand the needs of everybody and see how I could connect them together. And then it evolved into training and development. And so I started my own company where I traveled all over Europe, where I developed people, and then communication skills and understanding of how all this works. And then I finally, in 96, I went to Asia. So I lived there for 3.5 years. So that was also a really interesting discovery, because that's the different world, you know.
Yes.
When you go from Europe and you go in Asia,
it was Taiwan, right?
It was Hong Kong and Taiwan. So 6 months in Hong Kong and 3 years in Taiwan. And it's, so different, like the culture, the way of thinking. And that really opened my mind to in many ways. Yeah. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And in 1999, I decided to do an emotional intelligence certification, always in the mind of, the purpose of helping people. And I wanted to go back to Taiwan to teach that. And then I had an offer here in Canada. I said, okay, well, why not? Okay, let's take that opportunity. And I came to Toronto, and I stayed, I thought, only for a little bit, but I stayed 20 years. And I can tell you the reason why one of the reasons why I stayed so long is because Toronto is so diverse. There is like so many nationalities, type of people, and so colorful. It's one of the most multicultural and diversity in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really amazing. So I stayed there for a while, but then enough of the big city, you know, after a while. And a year ago, I moved to Kelowna, which is mm-hmm. in British Columbia. Yeah. It's on the west of Canada. And I'm happy here because more of nature. And, you know, I was missing my lakes and mountains, and I got that. And yeah. In terms of development of my career, in 2001, I did a coaching certification. And I want to speak of that because it really changed a lot in my life. In terms, you know, I was kind of a consultant, telling people what to do and more having this approach. And then my coaching certification changed my approach to how I communicate with people. Mm. I improved my communication skills. I was listening more, asking the right question. Mm. That makes a whole difference in terms of interaction with people. And so, yeah.
Before you were more giving advices.
Yes.
And you were more listening.
Exactly. So before, when you're a consultant and a trainer, you know, you talk about what to do and what would be right and what's, you know, so you come more from you give, mm-hmm. but you forget to listen a little bit, or you do listen, but not too much. As a coach, you stop talking, you ask the right questions, mm-hmm. and then you listen. And made a big difference in my relationships, in my work load, and of the way I was working with people, and it really took me to the next level of my career. Mm-hmm. So now I still do both. I do training and coaching, but I do enjoy the coaching more because I can witness results. You know, when you train, you give a lot, you give all the tools and everything, but then you don't see people anymore and you don't know what they do. So they put usually their things on the shelf, and then, you know, and they take dusts, and they don't really necessarily apply what you taught. And it's a bit mm-hmm. of a shame, right? Mm-hmm. So, but as a coach, you can follow people, you can support them, you can continue, and you can witness the transformation. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's maybe, or you tell me, but it's more intuitive work, maybe, that yeah. you do. Coaching compared to recommending things to people.
Yeah, when you are coaching, you are completely involved into what the person is all about. It's not about your agenda. It's about mm-hmm. their agenda. So it's about where they're at and where they want to go. Mm-hmm. So it's totally huge empathy, huge understanding, mm-hmm. compassion, and also trying to support them into where they want to go. Mm-hmm. In 2003, I took a course that was relationship coaching. It's called Organization and Relationship Coaching. Mm-hmm. And so that was another milestone in my career because it was about the dynamics of relationships. And this is both at work or personal relationships. Yeah. And any, you know, this is what we are all about. We are human beings who are seeking to have relationships with others. And we all need that, more or less, you know, some more because...
That's true, actually, yes. Some people need to be alone more, and some people need to see people more, or is that what you meant?
Yes, and also, you know, some people have moments where they say, okay, I really, really need to feel people, and some people, no, leave me alone, I don't want to talk to anybody, yes. and they retract, right? Yeah. And the reason usually why people retract is because they've been deceived. They had disappointments, you know, they had been hurt. And so therefore they prefer not to interact too much. So this is maybe one of the topics we can talk about here today.
Yes.
Is please. About these relationship dynamics and why things happen and what we can do to grow and evolve, right? Mm-hmm. You're also in a relationship,
this.
Right?
More than anybody.
Why is that? Tell me.
No, and we've talked, I mean, what I've noticed recently maybe more than ever, is we all go through the same topics. We all have the same kind of issues, you know, in our relationships. And I'm talking, I mean, at work too. It's all the same. We all go through the same kind of issues. And so, and so to me, this is very interesting. And I've spent my weekend talking to two girlfriends, and we talked about a lot of things, of course, but for hours, but mostly about our relationship, romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's the hardest thing also. When I have a spiritual coach, and she says, our relationships are, or our partners are, our biggest challenge. And yeah, maybe you can agree or do you disagree, but yeah.
It all depends where you're at. You know, there are different stages in relationships. Mm-hmm. So the first stage is usually, you know, the honeymoon types of stage, mm-hmm. which is everything is okay, everything. On pardonne, huh? We, mm-hmm. how do you say that?
Forgive.
We forgive everything at the beginning, right? And then as time goes by, we want to claim our identity, because we kind of mm-hmm. lose ourselves in the love, mm-hmm. in the love feeling. So we kind of put aside who we are, and we just want to show the best of who we are. And so we kind of, and then as time goes by, well, you know, we want to claim our identity back. And mm-hmm. so we have our specific needs that are showing up again. We have always the needs showing up at the beginning as well, but maybe they are more specific. And then as we get used to our partner, well, then that comes out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And at work, it's the same thing, you know, like everybody have needs. And mm-hmm. needs of being recognized, needs mm-hmm. of being appreciated, needs of being heard. You know, so all these needs are showing up at some point more than others. If we don't sleep well, then these needs are even stronger, you know. If we sleep, if we're tired, if we're, you know, there's...
Hungry.
Yes, exactly. So it's important to understand the dynamics and to see if your partner is in that time of the month where she is or he is, because it can be him too.
Yes, it can.
Or the moon, you know, when the moon gets
The full, the new, the Mercury retrograde.
Totally. So there is a lot of energy dynamics that we need to consider, and not thinking, oh, yeah, nothing. You know, the moon does have an effect. If the moon, if the moon can move the water, you know, can have like a mare basse, mare haute, the tide, that means we are water, 80%. We are water, so of course we're influenced. And some people are aware, some people are not. Some people are sensitive, some people are less sensitive. But we are all feeling it consciously or unconsciously. Yeah. Me, I can tell you that I've been sensitive to the moon since always. And I know, but sometimes I don't know it's full moon or new moon. But I can feel, I don't sleep as well, I have more energy, you know, I'm more heightened, my senses are more heightened. So everybody has different. What about you? Do you feel anything when you have new moon or full moon?
Yeah, I mean, this past one, this week was really mild. And, you know, some also have, I follow on Instagram different moon professionals or whatever, astrology, that's what it's called. And they say, this new moon, Sagittarius is going in, whatever. And then it's either you're going to feel it a lot and it's going to be a little bit chaotic, or you're going to have to go more inwards. I mean, usually that's what you should do, right? More mm-hmm. inwards, see, reassess, what did I do? What's working for me? What's not? But we don't take the time to do that most of the time. mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what there was a 3-week Mercury retrograde right now, and you're not supposed to take huge decisions in that period of time. It's 3 weeks and four times a year or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you should go inwards and not sign a huge contract or not buy a house or something like that in that period of time. I mean, of course, you're still living in your everyday life. So sometimes it's a little bit hard to adjust, but or to integrate, I mean. But yeah, I just, I'm aware of it. And then I.
And you know, one can choose to listen to that and go by that, or the other person can also say, observe and say, okay, well, this is happening, and just, you know, decide to move forward in one or the other direction. But, you know, what is important is to just know that nature is there and has an influence on us, right? So after
even
what
the season, right? It, now it's winter at your place. I know it's snow.
Not yet.
No.
I mean, Kelowna is an area, it's like almost the tropical, it's the tip of the Las Vegas desert. So it's a very special region. It's not as cold as other regions. And so, and we don't get, like now we have 7 degrees, so it's not too cold. And then it snows a little bit higher up, but not in Kelowna right now. But it's going to come. We're going to have a little bit of that too.
But yeah, the season. So it's normal that we're more tired, that we want to stay home more, or, you know, it's normal that we're not as hyper as in the summer. And yet sometimes I feel like people don't continue at their pace, although they should not, maybe, or it's okay that they take some time off.
Yeah, I think, you know, every individual is different. But what for me, if I can speak for myself, I think, yes, I slow down a little bit. I enjoy to be home too. But I always go out and go in nature to connect, because it's so important that we balance ourselves. So even if it's cold, I just bundle up and I go for a walk. And in winter, when the snow comes, then I go for cross country or downhill skiing or snowshoeing. I try to play, you know, it's all about playing, right? You just need to bundle up.
I meant not work. That's what I meant.
Yes. Exactly.
Not work.
But playing is very important.
Yeah. And nature for sure.
Yes. And I love the beautiful sunshine when it's white on white snow. I think it's so magical, you know, it's beautiful. Or when the snow falls and it's so, like, also magical, all these flakes, you know, and every flakes is different. And, you know, it's like a wonder. Life and nature is a wonder. It's amazing.
It is.
So back to the individual
relationships.
Maybe we can talk a little more about the personal, I mean, the romantic relationships, and we can just make some analogy in the professional area as well. But it works both ways. So what is the purpose of creating a romantic relationship in your way of thinking?
Oh my God, here it comes. No, so... I grew up with all those Disney, we can talk about them, I think it's very important.
Yes, totally.
That I grew up with all those Disney movies and romantic comedies from the US, where a lot of times the goal of the movie was that they get married, right? They organize a wedding or whatever. And even though you kind of know that's not the goal, you still grew up with that. And then when you get into a relationship and the shit starts to hit the fan, like they say in Australia, you are like, but in the movies, it's not. Sometimes in the movies, they fight a little bit too, but it's still cute. And I don't know. I was really
happy ever after.
Yeah. And I was very, it was very weird for me, because the relationship I'm in right now with Till is so deep and so committed. And I mean, we're engaged, and it's things are going to come up when it's that level of commitment. But that's what I feel. And you can tell me your point of view. And also nowadays people don't commit that much. So it's like, okay, now there's the real, I mean, it got deep and shitty, basically. There were a lot of fights along the way. But when I talk to my friends, I realize, oh, it's normal, actually. That's what happens, because what I've noticed now is the relationship is your mirror, and like any relationship, and it makes you work on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And thanks for sharing that, Ophelia. So.
You're welcome. The world knows now.
But that's okay, because we're all living a similar story.
Yeah, exactly. It's okay.
So, you know, what is interesting is this model, the Walt Disney model, and what religions and society have created, which is, you know, the typical marriage and having a house and a dog and two kids and whatever. This is the model, right? Yeah. And we try to copy that model as a child because we think this is the ultimate. And the purpose in life is to find a good job and to find a good wife or a good husband, having two kids and a dog and a car and two cars, and that's it, right?
Yeah, but it's so true,
Yeah, it is what it is. But now, you know, what is interesting, it evolved in so many colors. And I think it's good to acknowledge, you know, now gay and lesbian are accepted to get married. So that's already a new model, at least in terms of gender. And then after, well, you have all kind of other types. You have the polyamory. I don't know if you know what polyamory is.
Yeah, but for those who don't know, is different partners. That's what it is.
Yeah, so it's different than open relationship, because open relationship means more like, okay, you accept to have various sexual interactions with other people while you are in a couple. But polyamory is more about love. So that means you can love your partner and you can love another partner. And everybody knows, because in open relationship, it can be, or let's say in traditional relationship, people have a lot of affairs, but nobody knows, or they try to hide it, right? Yeah. Open relationship, people kind of know, or not necessarily, but they kind of know and accept. And then in polyamory, it's really like open. It's clear water. You swim in clear water. You just, but it's deeper. And it's not easy, because there are all these, you know, emotions that you have to deal with, and that's a whole different story and a different level of management, self-management.
It's like, can I imagine?
Yeah, it's like, wow. So you accept that your partner can love somebody else deeply, and that you know that person maybe, and you kind of feel good with that person as well, and everybody is okay, let's say. Well, you know, it's not necessarily easy, but it's great. I mean, to be able to do that is, well, it's awesome. So, see, everything evolves. So, models evolve. Now, if we go back to just the normal model and you try to fit in, then even because I personally don't believe we necessarily have to fit in, but we have to be really careful of how we are conditioned. So we are so conditioned into the system that we have to learn to listen to ourselves and see what we want. Now, if we talk about length of relationship, you know, like typical relationship are lasting, good relationship are lasting 2 to 3 years. And then after there is a phase, you know, after 3 years, well, if you pass that part, then you're good until 7, because every 7 years, the cells of your body, the whole cells of your body are changing. So you're like a new self, a new person, right? So depending on how you evolve with your partner, then you're good to go if you pass the crisis of the 7 years time, you know?
Yeah.
So 3 years, 7 years, and after you're good to go for another 100. Well, let's say it's the two major crisis, and this is a number, you don't stick on that number necessarily. It depends how, you know, there are many factors that can define that, but it's a lot happening like that. Usually after 1.5 years, if we look at the biology of our self, there are like a level of endorphins and a level of chemicals that are discharged in our brain when we're in love. And it's really slowed down after 1.5 years. This is normal. Some people 6 months, some people 1 year, some people 1.5 years, some people 2 years. But typically it slows down, it goes down. And then if you don't do the work of self-renewal, and that's key, self-renewal, able to renew your wowness. You know what I mean by wowness?
Mm-hmm. Or you can explain if you want your wowness, and I can share maybe something later.
Yes. Well, you know, when we are in a new relationship, we're wowed by our partner, right? Wow, it's amazing. Everything is amazing, right? Mm-hmm. And as time goes by, we get used to, so the wowness just kind of dilutes, is diluted. So, but it's our personal responsibility to renew that wowness. And that's not an easy work. Being able to go into it and say, okay, waking up every morning and cleaning your eyes and seeing your partner with new, fresh eyes, like it was the first time. Mm-hmm. That's a personal work that everybody can work on. And it's not easy, but it's very crucial if you want to expand on your relationship, if you want to continue to maintain that love, you know, the fire of love. Mm-hmm. So that's our responsibility. It's nobody else's responsibility. It's not his fault or her fault. It's our. So how can we renew that? What can we do to be able to do that, you know?
Yeah. It's always us, right? It's
always
our fault, but not in a negative.
Responsibility, way, I would say. Responsibility.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. It's and in everything. And when somebody pisses you off, it's not them, it's you, because mm-hmm. you have something you need to work on or whatever, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's why when your partner, when they start to be annoying, boring, whatever, you have to look at yourself and wonder, oh, why do I think that now? Why is my partner suddenly, he's the same. He didn't change, but right. How did I change? Or why is my mood like that today? And I have often noticed we would be in the worst fight ever, which is really not that bad. But let's say for us, it's like bad. And then the next day, I love him so much for no reason. You know? And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm a psychopath. But no, it's just it's just, oh, I have a mental illness. No, but we're all like this, you know.
Yeah.
We it's us, and that's what I wanted to say about the new eyes. It's always us, so we can always choose. Always, it's just a choice.
Yes, and that's very good what you just like mentioned now, the choice. You know, we always have the choice to be happy or miserable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And nobody can decide for us. Nobody has the switch button of the happy or unhappy feeling that we create within. Yes, yes, they contribute, they can help, they can support, but they are not deciding for us. We decide. Yeah. And having the choice part is so important to really realize all that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And to not take things for granted.
Yeah, and not blame anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, and not taking for granted is a key, because it keeps the wildness alive. Mm-hmm. You know, if you take things for granted, then you're bored. You get blasé. You get bored right away.
I was talking about that yesterday with my friend, and I will send her that recording.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Yeah.
Yes. The gratitude, the gratefulness is so important, and not taking it for granted, not thinking, okay, well, that's the least he can do, or that's whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. No, it's appreciating every little thing, mm-hmm. and always being in a state of appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
That's to write down, being in a state of appreciation for everything, not only for relationship, for life, you know, like you wake up, you're still alive. I just watched a movie yesterday. It was called Chamboulement. Mm-hmm. It's the story. It's a French movie. Yeah, I just happened to see it here on my box. It's the story of a guy who was playing tennis with everybody, having fun. He has his family, three kids, a wife, and he said, okay, he's going to pick up something in town. He take his scooter and boom, accident, coma, became blind. And his cognitive abilities were not as good. Mm-hmm. And it was about the story of that family who evolved into that situation. And it can happen from one minute to another, you know. So we have to be really grateful about what we have, because everything can change from one minute to another. From losing our life, to losing our abilities, to losing awareness, to losing anything, you know. So when we have it, we should really cherish it.
Totally. And we can end the podcast on that.
Yes, totally. We could. Totally. We could. So what's the purpose of creating a relationship, a love relationship?
What is it? Sometimes I don't know. No, yeah, it's for me, it's really this mirror, this, it's also, of course, a lot of sharing, a lot of growing. Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's kind of easy to grow alone, you know, to be alone. And then everything is good. And then when you're in a relationship, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's still good, but there are some challenges that come, and they are good challenges, you know. Mm-hmm. They're meant to be here. For me, it's that.
Well, yeah, thank you. And I want to try to define that as a commonality. We all have like common needs, and the need to be happy, to be in the happiness feeling, you know. Mm-hmm. And so in order to create that dynamic of happiness, well, we have two ways. One is within. So nobody can make us happy. We can be happy alone. Mm-hmm. That's how, I mean, this is not necessarily obvious for everybody, but it would be good to start to be happy alone. So that means if we're happy alone, we can be happy with somebody. But if we are not happy alone and we're waiting for somebody to be with us to be happy, then we're dependent on the relationship. And that's when it becomes tricky.
Yeah, for sure.
So important is to start with the feeling of happiness by ourselves, for ourselves, and then meeting somebody and saying, okay, let's create another color of happiness. And so everybody have that needs, right? And how do you develop, what are we also looking for in a relationship typically? So to develop this happiness and this trust that we're longing for, we need a sense of security, a sense of admiration, humor. This is like the communality that every human being is looking for. Trust, sense of security, admiration, love, honoring, humor, you know. If we have that, then we feel like, wow, this is cool. This is exactly what I look for, right? And then after, you have more definition. But the base, I would say, the groundwork is around that, right? Do you feel that it's true for you?
No. Or do I have it?
No. Do you feel it's true that you're looking for a sense of security, sense of trust, sense of admiration, love, humor? Do you think that this is what you're looking for in a relationship typically?
I could reply to that in two different ways. So the first way is I'm looking for deep conversations, you know, what we're having now, what I do on my podcast. I love it. Love it. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why I'm with my partner, because the first date like was not amazing, you know, but no, actually it was, because we dived we were immediately into something really deep, and I was like, wow, I didn't even know he lived in Hanover, because we didn't talk about that, you know. We didn't talk, what's your job, what's this, what's that, those basic questions, we didn't. And I was like, cool. And I know that's why we're together, and to explore that more deeply. And of course, love, but I would say also, I'm not sure that trust is here all the time, for example. You know, we try to. So, what I want to say is, they're not necessarily there. Maybe you have to. I know I use the word work a lot, but it's like that. You know, you have to.
I like to say play.
Okay. Play with play on it.
Yes. No, you have to play with the different dynamics. You know, there are different needs and different dynamics that are showing up in the relationship. And it's about how do you play with that? Because it's basically, you have to look at the relationship as a game of love, but game not in a negative, you know, it's like it's a happy game, you know? It's like we got to be playful with each other. And not necessarily be dug down by, you know, like, oh, okay, I don't trust you. If you don't trust somebody, then you have a problem, because you cannot fully open your heart. If you don't have a sense of certainty or security or certainty, then also that also like kind of becomes light and hazy, right? If you don't admire, if you don't have the sense of wowness with your partner, then also like, okay, well, it's just somebody next to you, you know? And if you cannot laugh about things, then it's a problem too. Like, cannot be serious about everything. This is about lightness, about happiness. Happiness is, when you're happy, light, right? You feel like you have energy. This is like, you can move the world. You can, so... That's the state you want to always co-create with your partner, or aiming for it. Does it make sense? Yeah, it sounds like you are reflecting on it, right?
I am. No, it does make sense, but I feel like the way you say it is as if it's already here since the beginning, but I feel like it's not necessarily all of the things you said are here right from the beginning.
No, yeah, and I didn't mean to say that it would be here at the beginning. I said this is what we're aiming for. This is what we're longing for. Okay. If you want a long-term relationship, you have to, it's important to work with this, like a sense of trust, a sense of certainty, a sense of admiration. Like, this is what you're aiming for.
Right? Okay, totally. Then
it's part of the ingredients of the soup. You know, if you want a good soup, you have to add these ingredients. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, then I definitely agree.
Now, you know, we have needs. And everybody have different needs, and the needs can change over time and can change over seasons, can change over months, period of time of the month. So we have, but these needs are really important to honor and to have our partner being aware of these needs. And so sometimes they are under disguise. So we have like a way to present our needs with aggression or with arrogancy, or with you know, like complete or playing games of psychological game, like saying one thing in order to have another result, you know. So these, we are not always aware of our needs, and we just express these in a screwed, completely screwed way. You know, I had a partner, she just enjoyed to create disharmony, to create challenges fights. She created that in order to get love from me. I didn't understand the game first. She always wanted to create some kind of disharmony, and then after that, she wanted to make love with me. But I said, this doesn't work for me, you know? This is not what I'm looking for. I like harmony. I like to be on that field, you know? But that was her makeup. When she was little, she was witnessing her parents fighting. And then when her parents fought, then her mother came to her and took her in her arm. So she made an association of receiving love and fight. And this created that in her mind, like subconsciously, right? Obviously not aware of it. But this is what she had was playing with all of her life. Okay, I'm going to create a fight. Now I can make love, you know, association. Okay, my parents fought. Then now I receive love from my mom, right? So you see, yeah, it's crazy how association can be made in our brain. So step number one, self-awareness, understanding who we are, how we operate, how a system works, and then be aware of what we need and why we need it. Okay, so this is not easy because...
I was going to say, it can take years.
yeah. But it's good to ask ourselves questions all the time. Because I remember, because now I have evolved as a lot in my relationships. But I know that before, I was playing a lot with my orgueil.
Ego.
No. Ego, yes. Yeah. So I was playing a lot with my ego, and I was pushing one way to receive the other way, you know. And my pride and my ego was too high. And I could not, it didn't work because it, you know, I pushed in the wrong direction and I could not get the love that I was looking for. So it's important to understand how it works. So there is a really good book that I suggest. It's called Speaking Peace for Marshall Rosenberg. Have you heard of it?
No, I don't think so.
Marshall Rosenberg created that concept of nonviolent communication. So he wrote the Nonviolent Communication book, which is a thick book that explains a lot about the communication dynamics. But he wrote a smaller book, which is faster to read, but it's really well done, and it's called Speaking Peace. So if you can get that, that helps people to understand what is behind the words, what is behind the meaning. You know, sometimes we have this smoke screen, and the smoke screen don't help because it hides who we really are and what we want to say or what we need. So, yeah, go ahead.
I have an example. Maybe if you sometimes I'm angry at my partner or in the when he's here, but often at and then sometimes he takes me in his arms and then I start crying, and there was sadness under the anger, but I didn't know, you know, but he knew. And then by just taking me in his arms, and that, I'm sure, requires already some advanced practices.
Yes, yes.
Advanced knowledge. That, yeah, and then it's good. And I think often people also at work, they can seem arrogant or whatever, but they're just hurt, or they're just sensitive, or they're just often, what is the word, not confident, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but it's, yeah.
Is that what he shares in the book?
Yeah, absolutely, as well. You know, and as you said, we have this ego is so big and plays a big role in our life. And it can be good for moving forward and, you know, achievement. But if it's in a relationship dynamic, it's not really healthy. So ego can be applied in some areas, you know, all the big achiever, they have a high ego, but also in a relationship, it's important to maybe learn to tone it down. It's like a thermometer, you know, the emotional thermometer or the ego thermometer. You got to turn it down and master the fact of that. And you see, like, for example, what's his name, your boyfriend's name?
Till.
Till. So what Till did, he put his ego down in order to, because I'm sure when you scream at him or when you were, argumentative with him, he didn't take it at the first degree. He went to look what is behind that. What does she really need? So that's a good skill. And it's wonderful that he put, because if he would have been in his ego, he would have fought back. Because,
It didn't take it personally. And I think that's what we do all the time, and we shouldn't. And it would make the world, it would make it so much easier if we wouldn't take everything personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we are in a world of reactiveness. So that's all what we learn. We learn to react. So we receive a text, we respond right away. We receive a phone, we respond. Everything is like right now. Instagram, so instant, right? Facebook, like it's all in now. Everything is in now.
Yeah.
So, like, we are very programmed to be reactive. So, the key to harmonious relationship is not to be reactive, or one of the keys, because that's what creates problem. We don't take time to listen or to observe or to try to understand. Because what Till did at that moment, he took the time to understand what's going on. If he would have been reactive, it could have escalated in a big fight. Mm-hmm. But we're not always able to do that. Because sometimes if we're tired, we don't have that energy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, if it's repetitive, like I have my partner, you know, sometimes it's repetitive. And I said, we talked already 10 times about it. Now it comes back like the button is pushed, you know? So I became reactive. And after a little bit, I realized, oh, shoot, I didn't manage to be non-reactive this time, you know? So it is a mastery. It is a mastery that we need to work on constantly. But it's beautiful when it can happen.
Yes.
Right? Well, there is another thing that, you know, I've been always fascinated by relationships, and I always wondered, what can we do in order to improve the dynamic? What can we do in order to create harmony? Because I'm a big harmony fan. So for me, that's the key. I want to be in peace, in harmony, in love, like peace, love, and harmony. I'm not born in the 60s, but I think I've been influenced by that.
Would that be the title of a book if you would write one?
Oh, yeah, that totally could be that. Yes. Thank you for the hint. I might consider that.
That's one of the questions I ask usually. If you would write a book about your life, what would the title be?
Wow.
Peace, love, and harmony.
In wowness.
Ah, yeah.
So
many books to write, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I wrote one already. It's called Be Different, Be You.
All right.
Because I was telling you at the beginning of our conversation that, you know, society is trying to create robot type of things, you know, like put all of us in one box. It's also a way to control, you know. It's easier to control people who are all the same than people who are all different. And I know that our DNA is very unique. Every individual has a unique DNA, therefore a unique way to express. And so in my book, I really help people to find out who they really are, ask themselves the right questions in order to shine at the best of who they are. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Where can we find the book?
It's only online. You can go on my website. It's called peakpotentialinternational.com. And then you can look on the Be Different, Be You. And right now, I only have it online at this point. And only in English at this point.
Oh, so maybe some translation to come.
Huh? Yes, totally. It is kind of half translated, but I need to work on it. It takes time. This I cannot say play. I have to say work. So I wanted to tell you about how to try to find a way to create the harmony again, to co-create the harmony. So I created a kind of a system, or let's say a tool that I like to use. It's called the love circle or the trust circle. If I work with organizations, I speak about the trust circle. If I work with people who are in a relationship, I mean, romantic relationship, I call it the love circle. Mm-hmm. Because this works everywhere, and you know, at work it's always a question of being right or being recognized or appreciated, and it's not much different in a relationship. So when something arises, like really some challenges, and you feel, oh, it's not right, I feel angry, I feel unhappy, I feel like something is wrong, and we are kind of reactive towards each other, usually is because we are in pain, or we are disappointed, yeah, or disagree on something. Okay, all this, right? Now I say to my partner, can we call the love circle? So there is a common agreement here. So okay, if we call this love circle, there are rules. We cannot enter the love circle without respecting these rules. Mm-hmm. So the rules are intention of respect our partner and not blaming our partner, mm-hmm, honoring what the needs are and where they are at, mm-hmm, developing empathy and compassion to find harmony, to listen, mm-hmm, carefully, and to be humble. Mm. If the ego is there, there's no way we can move forward. So humility is the door that opens the heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you enter the circle, you have to have that in mind. Do you remember what they are, the elements?
I will write them down.
I think it's important.
Listen to the podcast again.
Yes. And I really encourage everybody who listens to the podcast to take notes, because we forget, you know, we have a nice conversation right now, but I'm trying to really give the keys. What I'm trying to say with you today, there are workshops. I do workshop around it, like 1 day or 2 day workshops, mm-hmm, and I charge for it. And here, you know, because I always hope people can take that home and then create a new life. It's, mm-hmm, not just a discussion or a nice conversation. It's really, I try to give keys in order to change people's life. Mm-hmm. But of course,
so, yeah. Not blaming. So meaning not saying, you did that and whatever. And rather talk like, I feel like that when you did that or whatever.
Perfect. Perfect, Ophelia. That's exactly it.
We do it. Humility, yes. I felt my ego die many times during conversations. Like when Till says some things that he feels that I find so hurtful, but that my ego finds super hurtful. And I'm not, if in that moment I'm not reacting, I'm just listening and sitting in my pain, it's I'm winning, and we're both winning, you know, because, mm-hmm, then I'm being humble, I'm just accepting what he's sharing.
Yeah. Important is to put the guards down, mm-hmm, you know. Because if you, both of you, are in the same time in that love circle with the same intention of being humble, put the ego down, having empathy, compassion, listening more, and having respect and honoring what the other needs are,
mm-hmm.
in order to create harmony, because the purpose of being in the circle is to create harmony again. Mm-hmm. So to be able to have love to expressing, then you're a winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's what we do sometimes, but I feel like when what gets tricky is maybe when you don't know what your own needs are, you know, in that mm-hmm. moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still hard to figure out, oh, what do I need right now? Oh, that's why I feel angry. Oh, I just need to eat. Often it's that, actually. We just need to eat.
And yeah.
It's okay again.
Yeah. And if this is how you function, if you think that food really create that, or the lack of food create that, then it can be a belief system, you know. It might not be true, but it can be a belief system. Or it can be true too. But what I'm saying is, like, if your partner knows that, okay, you become particularly sensitive when you don't have food in your stomach, then, you know, it can facilitate that. And but what is important is really to understand. And like you said, we might not be always aware of our needs. And our partner can help us to identify these needs through these conversations, through being in the circle. Say, oh, if I understand well, so this is one of the way of communicating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand what you're telling me here is that you felt angry, is that possible that you didn't have food at that moment, that you are more sensitive, or what do you think? You know,
yeah.
Asking questions to understand your partner more and better.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the love circle, you are talking heart to heart. It's not ego to ego like it is outside of the circle. It's heart to heart. This is where you have your guard on. This is where you are. I call it level of communication number six, level six communication. Okay. So this is another topic we can talk on one day. I have like six level of communications. The level six is heart to heart. And this is very seldom that people do that and live there.
And do you have a ritual before you, or energetically or spiritual or whatever, before you do that love circle, or just by saying, okay, can we do the love circle? It's enough to put you in that state of heart to heart.
Well, you know, everybody has different ways to deal with a sensitive situation. So when you are emotionally hijacked, which is mm-hmm. when the amygdala, which is the gland, the gland of emotions, is hijacked, that means there is all kinds of chemical going there. You cannot even control. You need a minimum of 20 to 30 minutes to calm down and to have some kind of reasoning going on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the middle of an emotional hijack, mm-hmm. you can say to your partner, can we go in a love circle in the next 30 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're strong enough and you have that muscle developed, you say, can we go in an emotional circle, in a love circle as soon as possible? And then what I do is I breathe. Breathing okay. helps okay. me to calm down. You know,
yeah.
When you breathe, you bring give oxygen to you, to your brain, so everything can relax. Solar plexus is tense when you are angry. So or emotionally hijacked, the solar plexus is really compressed. So when you breathe, you open that up. So breathing always the key number one for everything. So breathe in a few times, calm down, and then enter the love circle. Because you have an intention is to create harmony again.
Mm-hmm.
And because you know that you have to be in humility, in empathy, in respect, so you cannot come angry in that love circle. It's not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
You have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So if you cannot control yourself, don't go in the love circle.
Okay. Yeah. If you're still angry, don't start.
Mm.
So you would really wait until you're calm, not angry anymore, and then start.
Yeah, you want to say, okay, well, give me, okay, first of all, you have to recognize the intention, because you might be so angry that you give me a break with this love, stupid love circle, you know? and then you have to calm down. You have to let the other person calm down, because it's beautiful to be able to create and to enter a love circle. So it's not the time. Mm-hmm. And so you have to let the person calm down and give them a break. Mm-hmm. And but if you're able, I mean, to recognize that your partner wants to make an effort, you know, like Teal took a lot of inner strength to hug you at that moment of aggression. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it takes the same amount of effort and strength to be able to ask for a love circle. You know, can we enter a love circle? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same démarche, the same path, you know, say, okay, I want to find a way to calm down. I want to find a way to understand you. I want to find a way to open my heart to you again. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot. But if you do that, that change the dynamic and the relationship can really grow.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, he will love it. He will love that I talk about that. Because at the beginning of the relationship, we were doing something similar, like honoring the partner, but like kind of every day, not when you're angry, but just as a ritual, because he has teachers that do that together. And I was like, what the fuck does he want me to do? and I know I'm open to that kind of stuff, but that was so weird and not natural, you know, for me. Mm. Or maybe I wasn't there yet, or I don't know. But we stopped doing that very quickly. but it is a nice, it's nice. And
you know, you're welcome. And these are tools, and you know, not everybody is ready to use certain tools to grow, because we are sometimes too much into trauma. Because we didn't talk about trauma, you know. That's you know, we have experienced trauma in our life that have shaped our brain a certain way, and being able to go in a love circle and talk about your needs and not blaming the other and listening and all this is, and compassion, this is not easy if you are in a trauma, because there is a defense mechanism that is automatically acting. And so if you're in defense mode, you cannot enter the love circle. If you're in a trauma and you have like that alarm going on, it's not possible to go there. You cannot open your heart. Mm-hmm. So it's important to do a work on ourselves. And like you say, maybe one person might be more advanced than the other. Or more ready, I would say. Not advanced, but more ready to do certain things than the other. Mm-hmm. Then learn from each other and say, is this interesting? Is this worth to try? Is it like a good idea for me? Does that work for me? Mm-hmm. Because everybody,
sometimes it doesn't, and then it's fine. So
but
so what would you, because dealing with your trauma is important, right? But what would you recommend people to do to be able to deal with them, or to recognize that they have some, or what kind of therapy, what, or maybe coaching
for trauma resolution, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's a whole different topic. I certified also, by the way, in that field. So, but before doing that, before my certification, I was not aware. I've been lucky not to have too many trauma in my life. Mm-hmm. So, but I discover so many. Oh my gosh. I was like, oh, that's incredible what human being can do to other human being, and what, and also how we interpret things as well. And sometimes we hurt ourselves by ourselves, you know, not even necessarily because of others. So, you know, there are some books. I think knowledge is a key. So being aware, developing a sense of awareness of what's going on, why we are triggered. You know, mm-hmm. we're triggered by all kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. So you had a trauma you mentioned one day, you know, from your childhood, mm-hmm. and it gets triggered. And the trigger of the challenge, right? Other challenges. Okay, I got triggered once again, you know? Or if your needs are not responded or recognized, then you get triggered too. So we can get triggered by so many things. So I think step number one is to try to identify what triggers you, what puts you in disharmony, what makes you feel unease unease. You know, like angry or sad or unhappy, or what are the triggers? And once you identify the triggers, you say, okay, what's the source of the trigger? Where does it come from? Why would I even feel like that? Mm-hmm. Then you have the why, you know? And once you know why, you say, okay, well, that's good. Okay, now I know why, but that's the past. That's like a long time ago. And then this is where the choice comes in. Okay, what do I choose? Do I choose to carry that with me the rest of my life? Or do I choose to kind of start a cleansing around this trauma that I carry around? Because, you know, we can be easily become a victim of our traumas. Mm-hmm. You see? And then we get attention from other people. Mm-hmm. And seeking for love, but is it the right way to seek for love through a trauma or through a, you know, negative reaction? Mm-hmm. Is it healthy? Not sure.
Not sure. But often we walk around as victims.
Yes.
Because we don't think we have a choice. Okay, that's maybe another topic, but it's very related. Mm-hmm. And by acting as a victim, we are waiting that somebody says, oh, poor
exactly.
you, or whatever. And
it's always seeking for love. Yeah. You know, Philly, it's all, everybody's always seeking for love under disguise of different, you know, actions and mm-hmm. and reactions. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, we're all looking for love and more love. And then we find some tricky way to get it. And so I think the first step is identify all that, and then seeing if it's really helping to have a healthy relationship or not. If it's not healthy, it's like starting to cleanse. And cleanse, it's not easy because it's a habit. It can be a habit that you have inside for a long time. It's a system that your brain, it's a mechanism that you brain have created. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, oh my gosh, I'm the victim of that, but I don't want to be the victim. So it's a choice now. Mm-hmm. And then it's like any activity. If you want to be a gold medalist, you need mm-hmm. to practice and practice and practice.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you see a trigger that comes back again and again, you need to be self-aware and practice to change, shift, you know, move that switch and say, okay, I'm going to switch now to a different reaction. I don't want it. I have an example for that, you know, like for myself. I have a father. I had a father that I was not really proud of. And there are many things that I had, not many, a few things I had from him that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. And I automatically, it's kind of a genetic, you know, reaction that you get from your parents. And it's kind of a genes that express itself in certain condition. Mm-hmm. But what is beautiful is epigenetic. You know what is epigenetic?
Yeah, but we can explain, I think.
The power of mind over our genes. Mm-hmm. And I can refer you to Bruce Lipton, who explained that so very well. Mm-hmm. The Power of Belief. He has written a book called The Power of Belief. And you can also Google him, and he has many lectures. And same with Joe Dispenza, who explained this type of thing.
Yeah.
So I would, these are my two people to go to, you know, my two, how do you call that?
Gurus.
Gurus, yes. Joe Dispenza and Bruce Lipton. They're just amazing people. And they, I like the way they explain things, you know, it makes all sense. And but they explain it very easily. So therefore, we have this belief system that is inside. We choose to believe that this is because I had this trauma and all that. And so to come back to what I inherited, genetically speaking, and it was acting. Like I can give you an example of a temper, you know. On both sides of my family, my father and my mother, they have easy triggered and temper. And I don't want that. I don't like that. I don't think it's a good idea to carry that on. So I've been working on it for a long time and it works. And now I don't have that anymore. But it was very easy to get it. I was very easily triggered because it was a genetic predisposition. But if you're aware of it and you don't like it, you can change it. Takes time, takes energy, takes effort, but everything can be changed.
Yeah.
That's epigenetic. It's the power of mind through consciousness. If you have consciousness, awareness of it, and you make a decision of changing it and working on it every day, you can change it.
It's amazing.
Yes, it's really fantastic. We can we are so conditioned by everything, and we can recondition ourselves in another way.
Yeah, and that's why we're not victims.
Yes,
we have a choice.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's step number one. Knowing that, actually, that you can change it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, little by little.
And being and aware, observing it, and then I'm working on it,
Yes. And you know what, hopefully, it's okay to fall back. It's okay.
Thank you.
Yes, it's okay to fall back and then to get up again and, okay, I'm going to get better and better. Because I do fall back in my default things, but I don't want. So I want to make it always shorter and shorter, like less longer or you know, get it faster or, you know, so
it's like be angry, but just for 2 minutes instead of 2 days.
Yes. And having the ego acting up and, you know, no. Yeah. I don't accept that in me. I don't accept it in me. That's it.
But yeah, that's what I noticed with Till when we fight. Well, first of all, at the beginning of our relationship, we were really fighting. And now it's only me fighting.
Oh.
And it's, he's not fighting. Well, he has other things, of course. But
yes.
It's not. It's just me like becoming a bit angry. And then he's not getting angry. And I'm like, okay. And then I feel like it's really shorter, you know. Like the, and then we say sorry really much quicker.
That's good.
It's fine. Yeah, it's great.
And that's a magic word, saying sorry, you know?
Yeah, because it was so hard.
It was so hard for me
to say it for, because I was like, but I didn't do anything. Why should I say sorry?
In my head,
you know? I was like, I was like fighting with myself, even being like, ah, my intuition tells me to say sorry, but oh no, I don't want to. It's so hard. But when I started saying it and meaning it, then it's okay. It became okay, actually, to say it.
Yeah, because it's our ego protecting us, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't want to get hurt, so my ego is acting out. Why should I say sorry? You should just love me, and that's it, you know?
Or worse, you should just say, do what I say, you know?
Exactly. Or worse,
yeah.
Yes, yes. And this is typical behavior. And yes, recognizing that and coming into humility and say, okay, because being able to say sorry means you're humble, you recognize, you know, you appreciate. And
well, it's always us. One of my coach says, it's always us. So you have the power to change your relationship, and the other one doesn't even have to change. But by you changing, the other one will change too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's awesome. And but at the beginning also, when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, so much responsibility. I hate responsibility, you know? I'm like, I don't want kids. I don't want this. I don't want responsibility.
Yes.
And then when I heard, oh, everything is my responsibility, actually.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool, but it's kind of exhausting just by thinking about it, you know? But now I understand. But that was, again, kind of like a little bit of victim thinking, it's all my responsibility, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So now it's like, okay, if it's my responsibility, okay, I'm an adult, I'm gonna do that.
That's right. But it's fantastic that you know, you go we go in our different phases and, you know, of realization, of self-realization and then moving forward, right? It's all about moving forward. So, and making a choice. They say, okay, I choose to be responsible. Like, I have a friend of mine, she loves to blame people. she's never responsible of anything. It's always because of others, you know. But that doesn't help much, right? Because then she's never going to be happy if it's always the whole thing is wrong. You know, everything is wrong all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But
people are idiots, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, do you know about the mirror principle?
Yeah.
Did you tell her about the mirror principle?
That's right. But you know, some people are not ready to listen.
I know. Yeah. I know. This summer, yeah, with a specific example that I'm not going to quote just in case he listens to this. do you want to share about relationships at work and how we can behave or at work, you know, because sometimes it gets tricky with your boss or your coworkers.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We can briefly touch on that. So at work, it's always related again with, you know, people are trying to do their best at work, right? So they try to perform, to be recognized, and to make sure that the company still want to keep them. There is
competition. There is a big fear of losing their jobs, I feel.
That's right.
The time. Yeah.
So that's why there is competition. That's why some people are really stepping over others, because mm-hmm. they want to make sure they keep their job, they recognize, appreciate, they acknowledge. So that's mm-hmm. all about that. Mm-hmm. So if you are with people then that are like that and they don't know what's going on, they just do it, then it's important you recognize you are the wise person. And then you say, wow, you did actually a really good job. I'm going to talk to my boss about it, what you did and something like that. So, but if it's somebody who wants to grow and wants to improve the relationship, then you can call the trust circle and you can explain what it is. So you say, well, look, I learned something about, really creating a relationship. Well, I'll give you a concrete example.
Mm-hmm.
In my work, in where I am now in an organization, I have a contract where I'm working as in a team,
mm-hmm.
and that person have her own ways of seeing things that mm-hmm. are very different than mine, and that's okay. But we had an argument over something that I totally didn't see. She saw it very different than what I saw. So I send a circle and she receive a square.
Mm-hmm.
So that's often a misunderstanding, right? People are just assuming certain things
mm-hmm.
according to their where they are at, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they are in a place where maybe they're sensitive, maybe they had argument at home, maybe they had whatever, mm-hmm. and they receive a square when you send a circle. So it's misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So then we call the circle of trust, and we started to have clear. And so it was not the way I describe it for the relationship. It was a third party was there, but the dynamic was the same. Mm-hmm. So that means I came from a place of, okay, so tell me what's going on. How did you receive? What did you receive? So she explained what she received, but it was nothing to do with what I said. It was completely her interpretation. Mm-hmm. So the interpretation have completely changed the dynamic. And now I would say, okay, I understand you have. And, you know, I could have said at that moment, but I didn't say that. Why did you understand that? I didn't say. So it's your fault. And I could have said that, right? If I say that, then I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Because ego is in place, protection, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I say, oh, okay, so I understand. Then I ask, so what do I need to do to not have that happening again? Mm-hmm. So she said the choice of words and the choice. Oh, okay. So I said, well, my mother tongue is not English, so maybe you can help me if I don't choose the right word. And I said, my intention was certainly not to make you feel that way. My intention was really to share with you and to just have your opinion. And so I had to say that a few times. And so I think it took time for her to realize that. And I always said, my intention is always to keep harmony and to work as a team with you. And so then the guard started to go down, you know. And then because her guard way up. And so she was completely into protection mode. And so whatever I say doesn't really help. So, but when I say, okay, take responsibility, and I say, what can I do to change? And that I say, okay, what can I do to make a difference? What can I do? And then I say, okay, well, yes, I'm sorry. So I was really in humility, and then it made a whole difference. So if one doesn't have the information you have today, you can show by example, and then people can really change.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I think that's a really common example that we all have at work, like misunderstandings, like number one source of fighting or whatever.
But this is at work and in a relationship always. Yeah. It's a misunderstanding. Exactly. Somebody see a certain way. Yes.
Yeah. Like the other day, that's back to the romantic relationship. We were at the supermarket, and I was looking for a gift for my mom, actually. And it was in the beauty product section, and Till was going to the food section to get food for him. And I said, he was like, okay, so see you in 15 minutes. And I said, no, rather 2 minutes, because I knew what I needed, what I wanted. I knew where it was. And I knew that he doesn't like, it was not a huge supermarket, but still, like, on my mind, I was like, no, 2 minutes. It's okay. Like, we're not going to spend too much time in here. And in his mind, it was like, he felt rushed by me, you know, because I said 2 minutes. And of course, he didn't share that. And then he went to the food and I chose the thing. And then he left and then we went home and the mood was, and then another little fight happened and the mood was not really good. And then later he shared that. He was like, yeah, already at the supermarket, you said 2 minutes. And I thought, come on, like, you're rushing me. You don't even give me time. And it was totally not true. You know, I thought I was doing this for him so we don't spend too much time in there. And so it's super interesting how much we misunderstand.
Totally. And you see, this is where maybe you wanted to do your best to please him.
Exactly.
And he understood the opposite. So you send a circle and you receive a square.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So yeah. This is where sometimes it's important to speak out your heart and say, oh, sorry, I just wanted to go as quickly as possible. But it's not always possible to do it because we're reacting very quickly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the situation, yeah, it goes like he went down the escalator, you know, like mm-hmm. it was like, okay, bye, okay, like, see you later. Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, and speak out our needs. But you know, it's okay if it happened at that moment, let it happen. And then go back to it and say, you know, can we talk about that? I really would like to understand what happened here. Is that okay with you? And always ask permission, you know, because the person might not want to discuss that, or the person might not be in that mood of discussing it, or doesn't feel it's a big deal or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So it's important to say what you feel. You feel, you know, there is something that bothered me around that reaction. I would like to discuss it briefly with you. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. And if you ask permission and the person is ready to do it, because it's really important to recognize the readiness or non-readiness of the situation to discuss, you know, the timing. Timing is everything. Because you don't always know where the person is at. Maybe he has some other ideas of doing something that we want to do before the shops close or whatever, you know, or want to get hot maroni or whatever, chestnuts, or whatever is in the other person's mind. So you have to choose your moments to discuss certain things and ask permission.
And at work, how would you, because I'm going through a little thing at work right now, actually, and I'm mm-hmm. like, I know I have the tools, but I'm still like, it pisses me off. You know, I closed.
So it pisses you off means you're triggered.
Yeah, I'm very much triggered by specifically one colleague. Mm-hmm. Who I really opened my heart to her at work, but on a rather private topic. Like, and it was not even about my life. It was about her life. She was going through something. And then I really wanted to help her. I thought, wow, this is like genuinely, you know, I was like, oh my God, this is a perfect opportunity. You know, she's opening up a little bit, and I really want to help her. And she let me help her in that moment. But then a few weeks later, I felt like the stab in my back, like when another situation, a work situation about holidays, whatever, days off, you know, and then they disagreed, and I was like, wow, I felt hurt. I think that's the problem. I still feel hurt, and now I don't want to talk to her that much, you know. Mm-hmm.
So why do you feel hurt?
Because I thought that I could trust her and she could trust me, you know, that we were in good terms, but maybe not, or not anymore, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I open, and I know that if my heart would be really open, it wouldn't hurt me, you know.
So I think you just said exactly what's going on. You feel hurt because you have opened your heart and you trusted her. And now your sense of trust and you open heart just got shut down by her behavior or her way of being, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now you have responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
you're responsible about your feelings. So maybe you had expectations of her behaving a certain way and she's decided to behave a different way.
Mm-hmm.
What if you have no expectations and she just behaves a certain way, but that's the way she is for her reason. She may have a reason to react, to behave the way she is, right?
Yeah.
What are the reasons?
Maybe some, what I thought of are her private life, maybe. Mm-hmm. Something is not super cool, but I don't know. But that's just intuition. And because I've noticed also when I'm not feeling well in my private life, I feel anxiety or whatever at work, no? And then it's not work, it's what's happening at home. Mm-hmm. And it's like that for everybody. And then also I think it's a big fear about losing her job. Mm-hmm. Because I do exactly the same work as her, but I'm 20 years younger, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't even care about the job, but yeah, it's just a lot of times where you have fears about, and they're not true, you know, mm-hmm. the fears.
Mm-hmm. So now you just talk about a little bit being empathetic around her situation. So she behaves a certain way for two reasons, possible two reasons. One is home, disharmonious situation, mm-hmm. or something happened, or the fear of loss of her job or looking mm-hmm. bad, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to find out, you can do what?
Talk to her. I already, I talked to her. I tried this nonviolent communication thing last year and it was great. But the 1 year later, we're there again. And I'm like, oh no, I don't want to.
Yes, and it's a choice, obviously. Yeah, you can stay in your pain, in your hurt victim mode, or you can take action and say, okay, I got to find out what's going on with her. Mm-hmm. Because maybe she really feels threatened, or maybe she really feels in pain, or something's going on. And you are here to help her. If you really truly want to help her, then you have to ask questions or find a way to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And open your heart so you can talk to her about the concept of a love circle or trust circle. Mm-hmm. You know, and you say, and your intentions, always speak about your intentions. Your intention is to really understand what's going on, and you know, and come from a place of love.
Mm-hmm. I knew that when I started to talk about it.
That's good. That's good. Yes.
And that's the responsibility when we're talking about.
Yes, yes. So if you are the wiser one, then you have more responsibility.
Yeah. No, so it's cool.
But yeah, it takes energy, it takes effort, willpower.
Courage,
right?
Also.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Courage to face rejection, possible rejection, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so it's very possible that the person doesn't feel, because if you address that, she might feel even more threatened, you know, or not. But you have to be ready for all possible mm-hmm. reactions, right?
Mm. Yeah. Thank you.
You're
welcome. And I think that that helps those who are going to listen to that too, because we all go through the same stuff at work, you know. As soon mm-hmm. as you work with somebody, you can be sure at some point something's going to happen.
Yeah.
You might disagree on it, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because in Canada, there is a lot of a lot of not supposed to say this, not supposed to mm-hmm. say that, you know, like, Canada is a country of immigration. So there is a lot of people coming from all kinds of countries and religions and you know, experience, a lot of refugees, a lot of, you know, so there's a lot of supposed to not touch that topic. You know, like in France, there's a lot of discrimination about all kinds of situation. I'll give you a simple example of a resume, a CV. Mm-hmm. A CV. In France, when you do a CV, you write everything about yourself. It's like a police report. You have to write your date of birth, your picture, your marital status, your religion, what you have done, if you miss some dates of between the, you know, the work, that some, if you don't have a smooth like career path, then like it's like you have 6 months off or something, you need to have like a really good explanation about it. This is France, right? In just to give you an idea, in Canada, you're not allowed, I'm talking here, not allowed to put your picture, to put your marital status, to speak about your religion, to speak about, well, your personal things, and you do the last 10 years of your life. They don't care about before. And it doesn't, yes, exactly.
In Canada.
Totally. And they need only 2 pages. They don't want more than 2 pages. That's why it's called a resume and not a CV.
Oh yeah,
So yeah, so in Canada, there are many things that you have to be careful of, not to, you know, not to say, or not words not to use, because we don't want to offend or hurt anybody. So it's a very respectful society. But they also are walking a little bit on eggs sometimes.
For you being French, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, so I was, you know, the other days, I said in my work environment, I said, hello, ladies. So I'm not supposed to say ladies.
Why not?
So why? I don't get it, right? Or I have to say hello, folks. Or, you know...
Why?
So, I don't know. I still don't understand it, actually. But, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. So little words there are sometimes, you have to be careful of, because, it can be taken the wrong way. So.
Yeah, but that's a little bit maybe not in France, I don't know, but it's a topic of nowadays, you know, that everybody could feel offended. You have to be careful.
Yes.
They talk about it a lot in stand-up comedy. I watch a lot of stand-up comedy, and they say the stand-up comedians usually are allowed to often offend people, right? Because they talk about a sensitive topic sometimes, but they're like the ones who are allowed to, kind of, but they will still be maybe sued or criticized for doing so. It's very interesting. It's an interesting time.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why people laugh, because they all want to talk about it, but they're not allowed. So now the stand-up comedian can shed the light on it. So it's funny. Absolutely. Okay, hopefully. Well, I hope this helped you and helped everybody else. If you want more information, please contact me. I'm happy to further help on if I may do a little informational. Can I do a little bit informational?
Of course.
So I'm always, my purpose, my life purpose is to contribute and to help people. To take them to where they want to go. So evaluate, I acknowledge where people are and help them to have a better life. And with my toolbox of tools that I learned over time, I'm doing my best to really bring people to that place. And I do that through workshops or one-on-one coachings. Situations, and so I do that internationally. It can be done over the phone, over Skype, over Zoom, over whatever, or in person. And any organization or individuals are welcome to contact me on peak PEAK potentialinternational.com, or you can contact Ophelia, who knows where to find me.
Sure. And you're coming in Europe for Christmas.
Yes, that's right. I'm coming over Christmas, New Year in Switzerland, France corner there. It's called Basel, Mulhouse.
Helena Eck.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then you're in Kelowna most of the time.
Most of the time, yes, for now, exactly.
Yeah.
Kelowna, Canada, British Columbia. It's a small town, 100 or about 200,000 people. Beautiful area.
Not that small, huh? If you compare to Basel, it's
about the same. Yes, exactly.
And Basel is huge.
And then Kelowna is very widespread, so you don't know this.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot for sharing all your wisdom about relationships today. I learned a lot of things. It was super interesting for a Sunday evening. And I am sure we're going to do a little series that's going to go this way or, coaching way, relationships, spirituality, maybe next time meditation and things like this. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There are so many topics we can address and talk about that I'm very happy to uncover with you for sure. So let's see which one are working best for you next time.
Awesome. Thank you so much.